Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The Ole Miss Spirits Billy and Body welcomes you to the flagship, an Ole Miss recruiting podcast powered by Status Jet.
Welcome in to this edition of The Flagship, an Ole Miss Spirit recruiting podcast, affiliate of On3. I'm Billy Embody. We'll be joined quickly by Zach Berry. We're going to break down what has been going on with the Rebels in recruiting. It was a wild end to Wednesday and a big start to Thursday as the Rebels picked up a flip. We'll talk about that in just a second. Head over to Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. Join us for just $1 for your first 7 days. People are jumping on board the site left and right. Before we get to the pod, got to remind you guys, we are presented by Status Jet, statusjet.com. Head over there today. Check out their fleet of private aircraft. And that includes helicopters, too. If you need to get to and from somewhere in a quick way, helicopter is also something they can hook you up with. But the holidays are coming. They can give you a discount on a round-trip flight when you mention the Ole Miss Spirit and that we sent you their way. If you have friends, family, work clients, you can write off that flight if you do it through work. It's the way to travel. So reach out to them today. They're proud supporters of the Ole Miss Spirit, and we appreciate their partnership on the pod. Proud to be joined now by colleague Zach Berry, our first pod since I've joined the Ole Miss Spirit. And Zach, what a way to be welcomed into the beat. Couple of big decisions came on the first day of the early signing period, one of them Winston Watkins. But let's get to the drama that unfolded with Tyler Lockhart, and let's lead off with that because that's what everybody wants to talk about. We'll talk about Connor Howes and give him his time. But have you seen anything like what's happened before with Tyler Lockhart? And he flips to Ole Miss. Ole Miss announces him a couple hours later, and then late afternoon, there's the Bulldogs rolling out their content around him signing. This is just a wild recruiting story.
Yeah, you know, I have seen this before a couple times with Ole Miss where you had years ago, Floyd Raven from Louisiana had an issue with, wanting Ole Miss. His parents wanted him to go to A&M, and then you had another year where DJ Law signed with three schools. I believe it was Ole Miss, Utah, and then a junior college. But this one's pretty unprecedented. And I want to go ahead and preface it with when people are like, that's recruiting. It's like, I don't think it's recruiting. I think this is just how Mississippi State does recruiting. I kind of laughed when it happened, when Tyler Lockhart announced he takes off the Adidas jacket to reveal the, Ole Miss, workout shirt. And immediately you can see the extended family in the back are clapping, but then he's flanked by his parents and his brother, and they are not happy. And that was pretty evident, but hey, we've seen this before, years ago, Landon Collins picks Alabama and his mom pretty much just embarrasses him on ESPN and, doesn't support him, just says go Tigers, You know, Ole Miss fans probably remember Davin Godshaw from years ago, wanted to go to Ole Miss, was wearing Ole Miss colors, and then ends up signing with LSU. It happens a lot. I mean, you mentioned, I believe, was it Jamar Chase that you mentioned that there was some reservations.
Some drama around that one, but it worked out for him at least.
But yeah, I'm not going to sugarcoat it because that's what the people want. That's what our subscribers want. I mean, this was, you know, basically, I guess, a coup here where Tyler Lockhart clearly wanted to go to Ole Miss and his family did not want him to go there. You know, there's probably going to be some state people that are going to claim that this was how it was planned all along. I don't think that was the case at all. I talked to several Ole Miss commits over the last week and they hung out with Tyler. They talked to Tyler. Every single one that I spoke with were confident that he was picking Ole Miss. I had a couple that told me that he told them he was picking Ole Miss. There's no doubt he was wrestling with the decision. You know, he'd been committed to Mississippi State for a long time. His brother's there. There's obviously ties to Mississippi State, but he very clearly wanted to go to Ole Miss. He'd always been interested in Ole Miss. I hadn't talked to Tyler in a while. He pretty much went into hiding with his, you know, with his phone. He wasn't really doing any talking, you know, whether text or phone calls. And, you know, he was wrestling with the decision. You know, he obviously, you know, playing with your brother's probably pretty cool. But, you know, he comes for a couple games and then, you know, most notably the Egg Bowl, stays. He talks with the staff. He meets with Pete Golding. He meets with Kelvin Bolden. He meets with Lane Kiffin. All the boxes are checked and he decides, yeah, this is where I want to be. And, you know, frankly, Billy, we were talking about last night, and this has nothing to do with us covering Ole Miss or, you know, oh, you're a fan site, so of course you're going to say this. I mean, if you look at it pretty black and white here, it's pretty sad that this kid clearly wanted to go to Ole Miss, but then everything has changed when Mississippi State puts a lot of pressure on him and the family, and then he ends up having to go back. Now, look, he's gonna say all the right things now, right? You know, he tweeted out "my bad" with some laughing emojis, and you know, but it was pretty late into the night on Wednesday. He still had the Hayes Fawcett edit like on his profile. He still had everything up as an Ole Miss, you know, had the shark emojis and all of that, and if you take out the rivalry part of it and just look at it as a human being trying to make a decision, it's unfortunate that it has come to this. But full circle, bringing it all back to what I said, Billy, you know, this isn't just, oh, LOL, recruiting, isn't it wild? Like, no, this is very clearly a Mississippi State thing where it was a personal thing for this staff to where, you know, how dare you flip to Ole Miss. I'd venture to say, Billy, if Tyler Lockhart had flipped to Alabama, there wouldn't have been an issue. But yeah, you wrote today that Ole Miss is moving on. And honestly, that's, again, it's pretty wild that we have to say this, but that's a mature thing to do. I mean, I don't think Ole Miss wants to get into those waters of like, well, no, you picked us. So like, you got to come here. Cause I mean, the kid's in a tight spot. I mean, it sucks, but that's the reality of it. But yeah, if Mississippi State people are trying to spin this as like, well, this is the plan worked out perfectly. Like, no, that's not what happened. And then honestly, like Mississippi State propping this up is like a huge win. It's just, I don't know. This is kind of the pardon my French here. It's kind of the shitty part of recruiting when this kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, it's not something you want to see where families aren't necessarily torn apart, but you could tell there's just a huge battle brewing internally with them. And so you feel for them having or going through that or whatever. But when you have these decisions that pan out so publicly this way, it just leaves a sour taste in the mouth. And it's almost like, you know, in today's day and age of NIL and all of the things that are pulling these guys in different directions, I agree with you. It's not, well, this is recruiting. This is a unique story. This is a a story that, you know, again, Ole Miss had the paperwork. Everybody left that we talked to when they left and went home to, you know, chill, decompress from what was a big day for Ole Miss, at least as they left the office. It was looking great. You know, everything's in place. You announced them. And then all of a sudden, things get wild. And, you know, so I spoke to one source that said, I don't think we're ever going to hear the story behind this one. I don't know if it's ever going to get out as far as the nitty gritty of that. And especially maybe behind the scenes of what, you know, Ole Miss went through, because when Mississippi State announced him, all their content was up. He was listed on the signing, you know, page. So all that stuff came down by the end of the day. And, you know, Ole Miss is just sitting there saying, you know what? All right, whatever. We're not going to pull receipts on a DocuSign, or Mississippi State's not going to, you know, leak that out and share what happened. Maybe they do, but just a weird situation for all. But Ole Miss does have two linebackers that they signed, Pete Golding, keeping two guys in state. And that's important to note too, Jarkobi Hobson and Bryson Walters, you know, staying in the class. But I don't know. It just doesn't give you a warm, fuzzy feeling about how this whole thing went down overall.
Well, you know, we laughed last night when it happened. I mean, I literally had just sat down, and my wife and I are going to watch a Christmas movie. And then I see Mississippi State's tweet, and I sent it to you, and we both laughed, and we're like, maybe it's just a scheduled tweet that the staff forgot to unschedule. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny because this wasn't, like, out of left field. I mean, the buzz was pretty palpable since Friday that Ole Miss was surging and had momentum. So this wasn't like he pulled the rug out from the Mississippi State staff. Like, they were scrambling trying to keep him. And, you know, you talk to people, I talk to people. The Mississippi State, like, people that cover recruiting for Mississippi State were like, yeah, he's gone. He's going to go. He's going to pick Ole Miss. So this wasn't like it was, what the hell? Like, what are you doing, Tyler? It wasn't that. And, you know, going back to the whole dynamic of this with the family, I mean, I showed you the pictures.
Yeah.
The picture of his brother signing, parents grinning ear to ear. I mean, fired up for their son. And then when Tyler does it, obviously they're angry. They're dejected. They're not pleased. I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe this is like, you know, it hits different as a father. I mean, you're a father. I mean, I don't think I would ever do this to one of my kids. I mean, truly, like, all jokes aside with rivalries and stuff like that. I mean, if your kid, this is what your kid truly wants to do. I mean, that's just really hard for me to grasp that, where it's like, hey, I know this is what you want. And this was a tough decision for you that you had to make as a 17-year-old, but you know what? You're going to do what I want you to do. And that's kind of what sucks, right? I mean, this is our job, and we cover it, and, you know, we have to be professionals, but on a human level, it's just scummy. And I hate it for Tyler. You know, great kid, always gave me his time, always answered the phone, even when he was committed to Mississippi State, was always gracious with his time and honest. And for him to honestly, you know, wrestle with this and decide, you know what, my brother's there, and I know my family wants me to go there, but this is where I want to be. It just sucks. So, yeah, I mean, Ole Miss, I'm sure, called him and, you know, hey, man, best of luck. But like you said, Ole Miss had the signature. I was told that by several people. You heard that. Like, the mom signed. So, I mean, there were some Mississippi State people that were saying, like, well, you know, after it went down, you know, the staff's going over there to talk to him. I mean, come on. Yeah. What are you doing? What are you going over there to talk about? Like, you know, you said we'll probably never hear how this went and how the story went down or how it all went down. But it's kind of, you know, this is kind of Occam's razor here a little bit.
All right. Well, with Tyler Lockhart behind Ole Miss and that whole saga unfolding, another guy that did get palpable buzz ever since he showed up for an official visit was Connor Howes, and moments ago just committed to the Rebels, flipping from Arkansas, where he had been committed since the summer. And this is a guy that On3 is really high on, you know, a four-star prospect. We're the outlier on the On3 industry ranking, you know, where you can see all the other services where they have him. Our staff is really high on what he's going to bring. He's out of the state of Florida, Osceola High School, right kind of near-ish where I grew up, a little bit of ways away from Tampa, about an hour. But he is a big, strong guy that Ole Miss just added along the interior to get a big flip on Thursday. He wanted his whole school to be there, and he went public with his decision, which is a huge deal for Ole Miss as they continue to add really a top flight offensive line class in this 2025 recruiting haul.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for some get off the bus first guys, Ole Miss did it this class. I mean, across the board, Devin Harper, Kenneth Boston, Taron Hedrick, and then now Connor Howes, a humongous human, but a big mover too. Good feet. You mentioned Osceola, really good football program. They're on the cusp of getting to a state championship this Friday. They play Buckles, but. This is a great get for Ole Miss late in the process. You get him on campus for the OV. He comes for the Egg Bowl. You sit down, you have the face-to-face, you do the whole closing interview, and huge for Ole Miss, not only just because of the player and the talent and the potential to add to the offensive line room, but stealing him away from Arkansas. Sam Pittman is a guy that knows ball when it comes to the trenches. He knows how to recruit. He knows how to identify and prioritize talent up front. And, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty about Sam Pittman and, you know, is he going to stay? Is he going to get fired? Is he going to retire? There are rumors about that swirling. Arkansas sticks with their man. Sam Pittman is staying in Fayetteville, but Ole Miss was still able to get it done. I mean, I think this is huge on a multitude of fronts, you know, with not only adding a four-star that's, you know, uber talented and has the frame and has the athleticism to make an impact. But Ole Miss has struggled to recruit offensive linemen at the high school level. There's no getting around that. It's been pretty evident in the last couple classes. The staff has tried to mask it with portal guys. And, you know, I think it was a struggle this year on the field. Injuries played a huge role here. There were a lot of guys that were banged up. I mean, losing your starting left tackle and Jaden Williams and having to shuffle the deck and move guys around on the interior that have never played in the interior, moving guys outside that have never played outside. But this is huge. I mean, you get Devin Harper last month from LSU, and then now you're flipping another guy away from another SEC program. It's big. I mean, Devin Harper, as I put on the board a couple days ago, the highest rated offensive line high school signee, I mean, since probably 2014, 2015. I mean, it's been a long time since Ole Miss has gotten a legitimate blue chip up front on the offensive line. And this class, like I said, you get two walking vending machines in Kenneth Boston and Taron Hedrick, and then you get some blue chip guys in the mold of Devin Harper and Connor Howes. So big, big, big haul for John Garrison, who, look, there's no getting around it. We don't have to sugarcoat it here, but, you know, his feet are to the fire a little bit with not only recruiting, but just, hey, like, you know, the run game really struggled this year, and Lane Kiffin's offenses have really had it humming the last couple of years. I mean, we're not far removed, Billy, where, I mean, Ole Miss basically ran the football like a service academy a couple of years ago. So there's probably a lot of pressure on him and the staff to get this done, and they were able to bring Connor Howes in.
And Cody Belair, I've traded some texts with him this morning before Connor went public. And, you know, they really like his foot speed and body control. It really shows up in that pass protection in terms of comparing him to other 2025 prospects. So with his size and athletic metrics, as well as strong shot put numbers in the offseason, they really feel like that translated to his senior tape as well. And that's why he's moved up into the top 200 overall prospects, a top 15 offensive tackle. So he really could bring some position versatility as well. We've got him graded out as a tackle, but when you're that size, you could grow into a guard when you get to the next level, as far as being, you know, somebody who could probably play four of the five offensive line positions. And those are the best guys. Those are the guys that end up on NFL rosters as, you know, at worst swing tackles, you know, the six offensive linemen that can plug into multiple positions across the line. And they're so high on him that Cody even mentioned could see him being an early contributor for Ole Miss, and of course ends up getting called on draft night. So you factor in Sam Pittman, who is an offensive line coach by trade. That's always a nice selling piece, I think, when you try to look at offensive linemen across the country as far as evals. You know, Arkansas, you can say what you want about where they're headed under Sam Pittman, and I think they outperformed a little bit, even with some of the losses that they had. Look at that Texas game, for example. But they're able to do that and kind of, you know, at least be competitive in games, in part because of how they've recruited that position. And you have to get the sign-off from Sam Pittman, you know, to be an offensive lineman for Arkansas. And a really good job here by the staff. A couple weeks ago, we were kind of poking around and trying to figure out, okay, they want to add an offensive lineman late. They, of course, worked on Tyler Miller. But to get Connor across the finish line, once it was kind of apparent that maybe Tyler wasn't going to end up coming their way, they brought him in on that official. They had that lined up. And this has been something that is a great example of how you keep recruiting guys throughout the process, so that if you can turn up the heat late, you can, and it's not out of left field. It's not awkward, like you're going down your recruiting board. Connor's a guy that performed well enough that they probably take him even if they get Tyler Miller, quite frankly, just because of what he put together as a senior. So this is a massive win for Ole Miss. Helps the class move up a little bit, I think. The rankings will update here pretty soon, but I would imagine maybe helps them jump a spot with the addition of Connor Howes. So a big, big deal to get him on board on Thursday.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano, or pick up bass guitar, or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil, that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's HIMS.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Yeah, you know, kind of closing the book here on how, as you mentioned, the sign off from Sam Pittman. You know, that's kind of what you do in recruiting, right? You know, when Nick Saban was still a coach, you look at a defensive back. If a corner gets, you know, gets the blessing from Nick Saban, probably a pretty damn good player, right? You know, same with like quarterbacks, with like Sark or Lane Kiffin. You know, hey, if these guys have an offer from Steve Sarkisian or Lane Kiffin, they can probably spin it a little bit, right? So yeah, you know, Sam Pittman was a hell of an offensive line coach for Georgia. You know, we all know about Georgia and how historically that program runs the football. He was a big part of that. So yeah, huge get late in the process here on the second day of the early signing period. And, you know, looking at his tape, you know, I was watching a little bit last night of his teammate, Tavian Swint, who hasn't signed and Ole Miss is looking to, you know, make some contact there and talk with him. Watching some of his highlights, I mean, you could see, I mean, it's hard to miss Connor Howes because of how big he is, but getting out on those buck sweeps and pulling and getting out in space and being able to move. I mean, that's hard to do in general, but as a 17-year-old in high school that can get out in space and not only get out and, you know, Bill, you know, ball, you've played, you know, college ball, like sometimes you just kind of have to get in the way or just maybe like get one arm on them. That's hard enough as a big man when you're out there moving in space against DBs and linebackers. And, you know, he's not only getting out there and getting in the way, but I mean, he's putting people in the dirt. And I think that's big, especially because not a lot of high schools run those kind of schemes and those college concepts. I mean, it's a lot to ask of a young offensive lineman in high school to learn how to properly pull and the footwork that goes with that. So yeah, I think a pretty mature game. You mentioned Cody was really high on him. We're talking about ball knowers. He knows it. I mean, that's what stood out to me as an amateur scout watching his tape was, man, this guy's pretty impressive when he gets out there and can get in space and get his paws on people.
Yeah, Tavian Swint is someone we're watching now with Ray Guillory ending up going to Utah. Another example of recruiting being fluid. You know, Ole Miss had all the buzz. The expectation was he was going to end up there, but, you know, they end up wanting to allocate resources elsewhere. And Ray was, you know, probably, I don't know about silently committed, but silently committed in a way. And Utah comes back late with a big push and Ole Miss says, we're good. And now they can go after Tavian Swint and we'll see where that goes. NC State's another school that Chad Simmons noted is in the mix there. So we'll see if Ole Miss ultimately does sign two running backs out of the high school ranks, but we know they'll go after a guy in the portal, I would imagine. And they would try to target somebody that can really make an impact there. And so we'll monitor Tavian Swint, and we're not done in the state of Florida watching guys, because Friday afternoon, a little Friday news dump might happen where Tylan Lee, the big, really talented top 100 prospect for On3 who's committed to Ole Miss, he's got Florida State right in his ear. Randall Joyner is working his tail off around the clock to try to get this one across the finish line. And that one's going to be probably the most interesting decision that could come on Friday. There's some other guys that didn't sign. There's some big names out there. But as far as On3 goes, we're really high on him with, you know, having him as a top 100 prospect. And he looks like, and I'm really, you know, watching his tape here late coming onto the beat, he looks like a guy that I think might even outplay that ranking when it's all said and done. And rankings aren't final by any means, but just that size, athleticism, all the things he can do. And he's still relatively new to all of this in a sense. I mean, he's a big, big target, you know, for Ole Miss to get across the finish line here late.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about getting off the bus first. Tyvon Lee's probably going to be in the front of the line because, I mean, just a humongous kid. And, yeah, pretty wild to go from not ranked to 71 overall. But, you know, talking with Charles Power, they really like his athleticism and his motor. You know, watching the tape, they were impressed. Both Charles and Cody were impressed with just how he gets after it. You know, trailing the play, pursuing the ball downfield. A really physical guy at the point of attack, but he's going to get out and, you know, pick him up and put him down and get downfield and make plays. So that stood out and was a huge catalyst to him going to a top 100 prospect. But, you know, I talked with Tylan last week, early in the week before he went to Tallahassee and, you know, just kind of touched base with him. And he said, you know, hey, I'm you know, solid with Ole Miss. You know, it's a great game. I want to go. It's easy to get there for me, but also I'm going to go hear out Florida State. You mentioned Randall Joyner, and we all know how good of a closer Randall is. I mean, he's been phenomenal on the recruiting trail the last couple cycles, you know, landing William Echols and Cam Franklin and, you know, Andrew Maddox, Jam Brown, Cam Beavers. And then this cycle as well, you know, being, you know, I don't want to say discovering Tylan Lee, but I mean, they were definitely keeping tabs on him, extended the offer, and they liked enough, you know, liked what they saw enough to give him, you know, a committable offer. And then he pulls the trigger and he's in Ole Miss's class. So I don't know, Billy, this one might come down to kind of some old school recruiting. You know, NIL is always going to be involved, but I don't know, just kind of put your mind, you know, put yourself in the mind of the prospect to where, you know, when I say old school recruiting, it might just come down to the relationship with the position coach and with the staff to where, you know, hey, maybe Tylan Lee kind of sits down with his family and he's like, you know, hey, you know, well, Florida State wasn't around back in October. You know, Ole Miss was all on me and that staff believed in me from the jump. You know, Florida State didn't start coming around knocking until, you know, it got down to signing day. And I mean, it's not a secret. Florida State's class kind of falling apart. I mean, they're losing guys left and right. You know, people were making the joke that the decommit class for Florida State is going to be ranked higher than the signing class. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe that matters to Tylan Lee. I know you talk to prospects a lot. I talk to prospects a lot. That comes up where, you know, hey, like these guys were showing love from the beginning. And I think that matters when it comes down to these tough decisions, right? I mean, he's going to have to decide, does he want to stay close to home, play for Florida State, a program that's not exactly on good footing, not on equal footing with Ole Miss, to say the least, at all. So does he want to go do his own thing, go with his gut, the initial commitment to go play for Ole Miss? You know, he flipped from UCF when he got the big Power Four offer from an SEC program. What's he going to do? So I think the last time I've talked to people late last night and early this morning, Ole Miss is still confident that it can hold on to Tylan Lee. I still feel pretty good about it right now. I'm not at any, you know, level of concern yet. But there is some concern to go with pushing it back a couple of days. You know, I talked with Tylan and he originally was wanting to push it back so he could have family members there with him for the party. And Ole Miss initially was expecting just to go ahead and get the papers in Wednesday. And, you know, whether or not they would hold off on announcing until after he did his signing day party or not, don't know. But there's some level of concern, right? I mean, there's always some concern when a guy pushes it back a couple of days. So probably going to have some sit downs with some family members, with his parents, and, you know, come down and Randall will talk to him and the Florida State staff will talk to him and then he'll make a final call on Friday. But as of this recording, I do think Ole Miss holds on to him. And if Ole Miss holds on to Tylan Lee, like you said, might be the steal of the class, because I, I, I don't think I would be shocked at all if Tylan Lee is out there with the ones and twos in 2025.
Yeah, he's a really talented player. And I spoke with him late Tuesday night to kind of get. I spoke with him late Tuesday night to get his rundown on where things stand with him. And, you know, he was really talking about how Randall Joyner has that relationship. He also has the skins on the wall of production and development and all those things that when you're looking at defensive linemen and how you produce, I mean, that's what Randall Joyner has going for him right now in a big way is the job that Ole Miss did this year up front. And that's something that Tylan Lee wants to be a part of, I think. And I like you said, as of the time of this recording, I think Ole Miss can hang on here, but it is going to be interesting to see the aftermath of it and if he does flip, because this is a desperate FSU program right now to get some sort of good news. Right around the time of the Tyler Lockhart drama, they had Solomon Thomas flipping away to LSU, a five-star offensive lineman for them. So things are not good right now in Tallahassee, and they need some good news, and that's why they're pushing so hard for Tylan Lee. But I agree with you. He is a young man that I think has a good perspective on it, and I think ultimately that leads to him staying with Ole Miss and his original decision, you know, once he flipped away from UCF, of course. But, you know, just to come in, have the early playing time opportunity and work with a guy like Randall Joyner, I think carries the day as of now. But like you said, when you look at guys that move back decisions, that's the interesting piece of it. What does he end up doing? Right now, we feel good about where Ole Miss stands, but it probably could go a little either way on this one. And with an in-state guy for Florida State, I mean, you know, right down I-10 for FSU trying to get him out of Pensacola, the Pensacola area, that is something that is a huge priority for them. But, you know, Randall Joyner is going into overdrive. He signed his guys on Wednesday. Now all he has to do is focus all of his time and attention to Tylan Lee and just talking with different sources. You know, it seems like NIL is not going to be the deciding factor here. Like I said, an old school recruiting battle shaping up. FSU also just made changes to their defensive staff. So they've got Terrence Knighton in there as defensive line coach now, and he's hitting the ground trying to make an impact and an impression on Tylan Lee here. So he's a big, big name to round this out. And that'll kind of wrap up the early signing period for Ole Miss if they can keep him on board. And you know, we'll see if Tavion Swint flips and things like that. You know, there are always those last minute conversations with players and all of those things. But overall, a top 15 class right now, that's pretty strong for Lane Kiffin when you know that Ole Miss is going to go after their transfer portal players each year and be a player in that space. With what they have, if they assuming they hold on to Tylan Lee, a couple of positions that you're eyeing in the transfer portal that Ole Miss is going to now go after, and then we'll get everyone out of here.
Yeah, I put out a piece last week about the positions of need, piecing together a piece now on kind of the positions of need and then some early names in the portal. It's still very early. Guys will not be able to officially enter until Monday, but guys are already putting their name out there as, hey, I'm planning on getting in. Again, I think offensive line, and I mean, a position of need is, it's kind of obvious, right? You need to continue to bolster your trenches, both defensive and offensive lines. I think Ole Miss is going to be in the market to add at least one or two impact guys. I wouldn't be shocked if Ole Miss went after an experienced center just to kind of shore up the interior and have a guy that's been there, done that. And then I think that you're probably going to try to add an offensive tackle. You know, there's some guys with some decisions to make that are on the current roster. And then, you know, there's a guy, like already mentioned, Jaden Williams earlier in the show. You know, how's the knee? How's that recovery going? Is he going to be full go? Is he going to be the same, you know, freshman all SEC Jaden Williams? So they're definitely going to add some players there up front to create some competition and be able to put the best five out there. And then on the other side, on the trenches, I would say Ole Miss is probably going to look for an edge guy. You're going to have to replace Princely Umamielen. He will be headed to the NFL. And then, you know, Walter Nolan, what's he going to do? Is he going to go to the NFL? He could come back for another year. We'll see how the draft grade goes, how the interviews go with NFL GMs and scouts and folks like that. But, you know, there's potential for Ole Miss. You're going to lose four guys up front with those two I mentioned and Jared Ivey. And, you know, I guess it'd be more than four, you know, with Akilo Stone and Chris Hardy. Probably need to add at least two or three. I think the staff, we've been talking about Randall Joyner, and you talk about the skins on the wall. I mean, they are really, really excited about the young guys up front on the defensive line. Cam Franklin, you know, I rattled the names off earlier, you know, William Eccles, Jam Brown, Cam Franklin played a lot this season in reserve roles, you know, mop up duty, and they look good. So they're excited about those guys that are going to be, you know, either redshirt freshmen or true sophomores, depending on how much they played this year. So I wouldn't call it like an absolute dire need to have an influx, but you saw the impact that Princely and Walter had this year. And, you know, kind of going back to the Tyvon Lee recruitment, I mean, that's definitely going to help Ole Miss, right? You know, hey, look at these guys. These guys came in for 1 year and played with us and had this staff get their hands on them and that development. You know, Lou Spanos being on staff, I don't think it's talked about enough. I don't think the guy's beard gets talked about enough. It's one of the best beards I've seen. But, yeah, I mean, that guy with all of his NFL experience, I mean, just being right there, I mean, those guys just flock to him and just hover around him and just are sponges because he knows so much. I mean, Prince Umamione looked like a completely different player this year. Walter Nolan, same thing. So yeah, I mean, you can point to that when you're trying, you know, not only Tyvon Lee, but like portal guys. Hey, you want to do a 1 year rental? Look at what we did with Princely. Like, you can come here and do that. So yeah, they're going to add some guys in the trenches on both sides. Wide receiver is the one that's big to me. You lose Trey Harris and Jordan Watkins. I mean, Caden Lee was, you want to talk about an eval that needs I mean, dude, staff needs to go out and celebrate that a couple times because that kid came out of nowhere, second, you know, in receptions on the team, made some big catches down the stretch for Ole Miss. So they've got him. They're excited about him. And you know, what are they going to do with, you know, with the other guys that are currently on the roster? You know, the Aiden Williams and Narrell Whites, those guys another year in the system, are they going to be ready? And then you look at five-star Caleb Cunningham. Is he going to be the next Ryan Williams, Cam Coleman? Is he going to come in and play right away? So I do think Ole Miss is going to go after a big-bodied outside wide receiver. I still contend that Lane Kiffin's offenses operate at full capacity when they run the football efficiently, and they've got a big receiver that can cause mismatches one-on-one outside. So one that I've just all of a sudden this morning, definitely on the radar, Dane Key from Kentucky. I was told Ole Miss is kind of in his final grouping, Georgia, Nebraska, South Carolina, and Ole Miss. He is someone that is looking for, you know, one more year. You know, let's try to go somewhere where I can really bolster my resume and get ready for the NFL. He's a guy that I would keep an eye on. You know, we know about the Kevin Concepciones and all the other big name wide receivers that have announced their intention to get in the portal. Key is one I would keep an eye on right now. Look, the list is going to grow exponentially in the next couple of days. And then, you know, kind of burying the lead here, but yeah, Ole Miss is going to want to add a running back, right? You know, I think there are three spots left in this class. Howell's just got one of them. And then you've got Tyvon Lee that they're keeping that spot open, obviously. And then, you know, whether or not Tavian Swint chooses Ole Miss or not, I think Ole Miss is probably still going to try to get a running back out of the portal that is a big physical guy that has played a lot of ball. You know, Ulysses Bentley's gone. A lot of questions about Logan Diggs. How's the knee going to be after two surgeries? So Lane Kiffin is not going to shy away from adding talent to rooms that have talent in them already. So That's probably the big ones. And then I guess if I had to add one final position group, cornerback, you want to talk about a skin on the wall that you can put out there. You can put it on a billboard. Trey Amos, reserve guy at Bama, came in the SEC championship game, shut down Brock Bowers. You talk about a stamp of approval. I mean, Nick Saban loved the kid before he retired. He was going to start for Alabama this season. Chose Ole Miss. And then, Billy, people forget about him because nobody threw to his side of the field. He was hardly ever challenged. And I think he has played his way into being a day one NFL draft pick. So Ole Miss is going to need to find someone to shut down half of the field like they did this year with Trey Amos. And they're going to go after some guys in the portal to try to go get a legitimate shutdown corner.
Great stuff. Zach, enjoy the state championships in Tennessee. We'll have full coverage at Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On3. Zach is on the scene today in Chattanooga to watch those games unfold. So stay tuned for all his coverage and head over to Ole Miss Spirit $1 for your first week to join the site. A bunch of people have done that this week, and it has been a wild one for Ole Miss. But hey, that's what we sign up for. That's the recruiting world that we live in these days. But what a class right now, top 15 for Ole Miss. And keep following us as the transfer portal opens on Monday. It's about to be portal season for the Portal King. So for Zach Berry, I'm Billy Embody. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the Flagship and Ole Miss Spirit Recruiting Podcast. Catch you guys next time. Have a great weekend, everyone.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.